Good morning and welcome to Mountain View's online service. It's a great honor that I get to invite my good friend Graham Ord. We've known each other for years. He's come to lead worship for the next few weeks, and I'm thankful for that. All of you who are joining us from St. Giles, we welcome you, we thank you, and we're glad that you're part of this service with us. And all of you who are out there who have connected with us through the internet, we want to welcome you as well. I have some good news for some of you who are really hungering to come back into church. We are going to have the church start again on June 7th, but it will come with some caveats. We won't be singing out loud. Apparently, that spreads the germ more than coughing. We'd ask people to stay away if they're not feeling well. We will only be able to have 50 people, and there will be seating that will be 6 feet apart at least per family unit. We will have hand sanitizer, and we will have all of the room will be disinfected, and we ask that you realize that there will not be passing of the peace, unfortunately, and people will have to just go outside once the service is over, where if they wish to socialize, that's fine. We are doing this to honor the desire of people in this church who really, really want to come. At the same time, if you feel at all nervous, you don't have to come. We're going to continue to do the same quality of our worship here online, and we will still provide the word and the worship for you. As to St. Giles, we don't have an opening date yet, but I have some exciting news there too. Joanna and Alan are working very hard with the board at developing their own online service so that people can choose whether to attend or not. And once we have developed that, we're excited. And the session has been wonderful in recognizing the needs of this time. And so please, if you're in Prince George, be patient. The elders will be in touch with you, and there will be a time where we will also meet up there. Again, 50 or less people. All right. Now let us quiet our hearts and prepare ourselves for worship. This morning, we get to be in front of the God's throne by grace alone. The God who so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. The God who, through sending his Son, came into the chaos of our world. Let us embrace and worship and be in awe of this God today, the only God worthy of glory and honor. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace to us. We thank you that through your Son, you came and showed us what it means to be human, what it means to be forgiving and loving, full of hope and life. We thank you that you came into the storm and the chaos of this world, even to the cross, so that we might be free of the chaos within us and outside. We pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us up, that you would give us peace in the midst of this world, that you would open up our eyes and ears, even this morning, even if we've been in the church for years, open up a new and fresh way of seeing your love for us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We ask you to forgive us the sins that we've committed this week and to renew our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my Lord, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my Lord, I worship Your holy name. You are rich in love, and You're slow to anger. Your name is great, and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years, then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. I will worship Your holy name. All who are thirsty and all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy, as deep cries out to deep. We sing, come Lord your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy, as deep cries out to Thee. We sing, come Lord Jesus, come. We sing, come Lord Jesus, come.
Holy Spirit.
Cries out to Thee.
This time I'd like to actually take a moment to praise God for all of the blessings he's poured upon us. And, you know, as I've said before, giving is an act of worship. And I know a lot of us are now giving online, and it's not personal here, but it doesn't make it any more worshipful. So let's thank the Lord and ask him to use this to bless his kingdom. We thank you, Father, for these gifts that you have received from us. We ask you to receive them from hearts of thankfulness to the building up of your kingdom, to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. We believe in prayer in this church. God told us to pray. He's called us to call out to him. I invite you over the internet or through your elders, whether in Prince George or through Mountain View, or if you just want to write us, you don't have a church home right now and you're watching us online, send us what you would have us pray for you, and we can pray it out loud here or just pray with you privately. I know that there's a lot going on in this world right now. There's obviously the pandemic, and there's the poor lady who died flying an airplane to entertain people. There's so much tragedy and chaos in this world, and I think it's a good thing to pray to the Lord, to ask him to bring his life in the midst of it. And I think of all of you who are working on the front lines and those who have lost people. We pray, let us pray together that the Lord will touch us and give us insight at this time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God you are that you would actually call us to bring our cares to you. We recognize we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to truly speak the needs out that we need and the praise out that we feel. And we thank you that the Spirit does that with groans too deep for human understanding. But within our understanding, we bring before you the needs of our communities. I pray for St. Giles as they move forward, as they develop this online ministry, that Prince George will be touched by it. And as they prayerfully consider how to come together, we pray that you would give the session and the board wisdom, and that you would protect them. We pray for Mountain View as we look forward into the next few weeks of having some, maybe not a lot, come back. We pray that your Holy Spirit will protect us, that you'll give us wisdom and understanding of each other and grace for each other to respect and honor. Lord Jesus, I think of Karen. I think of Faye. I think of Allie up in Prince George, those who are working in the front lines. We pray you surround them with your protection. I think of those people working in stores who are taking a risk. I can only imagine the stress, Lord. We ask you to bless them and bring them peace. We pray for those in homes, especially where these outbreaks are alive. We pray for those who came before us, those seniors, those who were faithful to build our communities, our churches. May you protect them and watch over them. Lord, I think about the young lady in the accident with her family. May you bless them. May you help them to grieve, and may you, through your ways, reveal or remind them that there is the resurrection. We pray for those who've lost loved ones, Gwen and Joan. We pray that your Spirit will rest upon them. Now we lift up that which is on our hearts to you in the quietness of our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you that we know we can trust you in the storm. And we pray now that you will seal these prayers and that you will breathe life through them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Old Testament scripture reading is from Psalm 77. Psalm 77. I cry aloud to God, that he may hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. I think of God and I moan. I meditate and my spirit faints. You keep my eyelids from closing. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old and remember the years of long ago. I commune with my heart in the night. I meditate and search my spirit. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love ceased forever? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? And I say, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will recall to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples. With your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. The very deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies thundered. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the mighty waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Our New Testament reading is from John chapter 6, verses 16 through 21. John chapter 6, 16 through 21. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, we live in a chaotic world. Everyone knows that. The question is, how can you make it less chaotic? And that's what we spend most of our life trying to do. Well, there's a company that's come out with this idea of assuring order. The company's name is Vivos, V-I-V-O-S. And their title on their company name is Life Assurance, not insurance, Life Assurance. You can have assurance of life for a dangerous world. We can give you order in a dangerous world. And how do they do this? Well, I'll tell you what. They've gone out into a field in America and have built a multiplicity of bunkers, deep bunkers underground that you can pay for a few $100,000 a year. And you can go and live in this place that is going to keep you safe. Now, you'll notice on this one slide that it's a communal living area. So not only do you get to live there, but you get to live with a bunch of strangers in the same room. What could go wrong with that if you can't get out? I mean, how have our families handled the pandemic together? I'm sure it will be safe and orderly staying in a bunker that you're sealed in. But perhaps you want to be alone. Well, you'll notice that there is one suite you can buy for the rich. It's called the Millionaire Suite. It's beautiful, as you can tell. No windows, but very nice. Now, if you don't have so much money, you can buy this next suite, which looks like your kids' bunk beds. Yes, even in the apocalypse, we have class stratus. The idea of this is for very wealthy people to be assured that if something happens, the zombies come, that they have an out, an escape. We laugh at it, but the reality is we all are looking for order. We don't like chaos. And a lot of people come to Jesus and Christianity thinking this will be my answer to order. I'll be wealthy. I'll be happy. Everything will go well. My business, my marriage. But is that really what Jesus says? Is that what the Bible says about the chaos of life? Well, I think the text today would question that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace to us. We pray that you will open our eyes and our ears so that we may bear your Son's image in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture itself is like all parts of John. It looks very simple at the beginning, but it's got so many layers. And to understand the scripture, you got to go back to that culture. You have to understand what this all meant to them and what John was trying to do. Remember, John's gospel starts in the beginning. He's starting by laying a foundation that he's going to be talking about creation and new creation. And he's also talking about the God of creation coming amongst us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So it's all got this creation theme, and that's why we see dark and light, waters, all of those dichotomies in the creation story, those dualisms are presented in John's gospel and they all have meaning. Jesus has just fed the 5,000. He's shown himself to be the God who is the God of the man of God, the God of the Exodus, the original Exodus. And he's showing he's going to bring a new Exodus. And they, of course, don't understand him and want to make him king like their kings. By force, because that's how kings of this world become kings. By force. So Jesus runs away into the mountains to get away from that. What do the disciples do? Well, they, when evening came, went down to the sea. Now, for us who are listening closely, who understand that this is all based on the creation story, we remember that sea represents chaos all through the Old Testament, but especially at the beginning. In the beginning of the original creation story, there was a great dark void, a big ocean that the Spirit came down upon and calmed. The ancients saw the sea not as a wonderful place to go on the weekends, but a place of fear. It represented chaos to them because people were lost on it all the time, and they didn't even know where they went. So we know right now that the disciples are going into chaos. Now there's a problem. They're not with Jesus. It says they got in the boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. They've got ahead of Jesus, haven't they? And that's why John adds this in. And every time he brings in dark, we find lostness. Nicodemus, it was the darkest moment. He can't see Jesus. And in this case, it says, it was now dark. John doesn't put that in without a reason. And he explains why. And Jesus had not yet come to them. They have not got the light of the world with them. They're going off into the chaos, trusting in themselves. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. This happened to the Sea of Capernaum all the time. There was a cool winds off the east would come in on the warm winds of the water, and it would create great storms. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they'd been out there for a while. They saw Jesus walking on the sea, the God who covers over that great primordial sea in creation, coming near their boat, and they were terrified. I'll tell you why they were terrified, because this was a statement, if there ever was a statement, that Jesus was saying, I am God. All through the Old Testament, there was only one being that could control nature, and that was God. Job says it this way, Job 38, when this is God speaking back to Job. Or who shut the sea with the doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed bounds for it and set bars on its door, he said, thus far shall you come and no farther there shall you proud waves be stopped. It is God in Job that controls the seas. There's many other texts I could point to, but there's the one in particular I will highlight. Psalm 107, which is almost an echo of what they're experiencing. Listen closely to their experience with this. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the mighty waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For the Lord commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their calamity. These sailors reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. The Lord God. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he had brought them to their desired haven. These disciples are terrified because, as Peter says in another one of the Gospels on this story, who is this man? Men don't control the seas. Jesus' answer couldn't be more perfect. But he said to them, and our translation says, it is I. It's an unfortunate translation. The literal translation in Greek is ego eimi. I am. What did God tell Moses his name was in the burning bush? I am that I am. Now, it could be a greeting that is, I am. But in this context, with everything that's going on, it clearly is Jesus saying, Yahweh, I am Lord. Do not be afraid. Then we get the wonderful rescue. But you'll notice it was their choice. Then they wanted to take him into the boat. And immediately, and this is a miracle, they got to have another 4 miles to go. And immediately that boat reached the land toward which they were going. They had run into chaos on their own. And the Lord who came into chaos arrived. The God. And when they let him in, they arrived. That's the gospel. It's such an incredible text. It's 5 verses. The depth of the writing of John just blows my mind every time. The brilliance of this man. And one of the things he insists we understand, or we will never understand him, is that Jesus is God. There's a theologian that was very popular a few years ago. And he was going around writing books, because people like stupid books, saying that Jesus was just a really nice religious teacher, you know, a really nice guy, but he's like Buddha and Muhammad. He was just showing us a way. Well, I can assure you, if these stories are true, he was much, much more than that, and it's the only way these scriptures make sense. J. Oswald Saunders said it this way: the deity of Christ is the key doctrine of the scriptures. Rejected in the Bible becomes a jumble of words without any unifying theme. It's not even a good religious text. But when Jesus is on it, anyways, accepted in the Bible becomes intelligible and ordered revelation of God in the presence of Jesus Christ. When you accept that this is the theme, you start to get what it's all about, and the books come together and make sense because he's the theme. And the amazing story about Jesus in John's gospel is that he is, with the Holy Spirit and the Father, the triune God, in control. That's the amazing theme that keeps going through. Charles Stanley, from Genesis to Revelation, here's the central message, and he's right. God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, the triune God, is in control of all things, period. That's the story. So why are we living in the storms? Because the reality is, my friends, whether we like it or not, we live in a chaotic world. Should we not doubt a God that's in control in a time of pandemic? I get that question all the time. Where is God, Emery? Where's your God? I get mocked. I understand that. We live in a chaotic world, and we're trying our best to bring order to it ourselves. That's why we build bunkers for people for a potential apocalypse. It's why people spend time trying to get enough money, get enough power, get their family right. It's why some people go to drugs and alcohol. It's to control even for a moment order. In fact, our whole entertainment business is designed to give us a sense of order. That's why movies are created. To give us a sense of telling stories about something of the way the world could be ordered. That's why superheroes are around. Because they give us the illusion that we can order ourselves. J.J. Abrams, the great director of many of these superhero and sci-fi movies, said this: we create stories to help us shape a chaotic world, to navigate inequities of power, and accept our lack of control over nature, over others, and over ourselves. The truth is, this is how the world runs, and I can't laugh at the guys who want to hide in their bunkers. Except, we have a God who comes into the chaos. He's in control, but he's chosen to come into the chaos. We don't like that in our culture, and I'll tell you why. We believe in a God way out there. It's called deism. That's the formal name. A God that's out there who spun the world to an existence and basically just sits back and wants to make sure everybody has a good time. We don't believe a God who comes into this world. We don't have a God like that. We like to sing songs like, "Do Lord, oh do Lord, do remember me," way beyond the blue. A God out there. And it's because we believe in the God out there, by the way, that atheism is so big. N.T. Wright says it this way: deism historically produces atheism. First you make God a landlord, a distant landlord, then an absentee landlord, then he becomes simply absent. And culture goes on. But I tell you the truth, I don't believe in that God. I believe in a God that's so radically different than that, that it should blow our minds every day. I believe in a God who comes into chaos. Not an imaginary chaos. Not when we've got it figured out enough. Not the ideal humanity, but the chaos of this world. This is the God who's in Jesus Christ, and that's what makes us uncomfortable. He gets dirty, he gets messy. I love Dietrich Bonhoeffer's quote, God bless him. And he wrote this in the rise of the National Socialists. God loves human beings. God loves the world, not an ideal human, but human beings as they are. Not an ideal world, but the real world. What we find repulsive in their opposition to God, what we shrink back from with pain and hostility, namely real human beings, the real world, this is for God the ground of unfathomable love. This is the God that gets dirty, that comes into the storm. This is what the gospel is all about. This is what the cross is about. If you're ever going to understand the gospel, it is far more just so that you can have your sins forgiven so you might fly off to heaven. It is because there's a God who comes in our world of chaos and takes it upon himself so we can have eternal life. Mark Sayers says, Jesus takes the chaos of the world upon himself. That's the God we live for, we love, and that changes people's hearts. He's not a distant God that lives way beyond the blue. He's a God who is now here amongst us and refused to let our sinful, broken, chaotic world be destroyed. So what about us? Well, I think the question here is the same for them. Because we're living in chaos, let's be honest. Right now it's communal chaos, it's called pandemic. And if you don't think it's affected you, you're lying to yourself. It's affected all of us. It's made us doubt, it's made us anxious. We can feel the tension. We wonder about our jobs. And of course this isn't the last piece of chaos that we're going to run into. Even if this pandemic comes and this magical vaccine is taken care of, there will be more chaos. Because there's always chaos. Even if you stuck yourself in a bunker under the ground, eventually one of those people in the bunker with you is going to drive you nuts. Do you know that most people are murdered by people they live with? Think of that next time you want to put yourself in a bunker that's locked up. See, if I had a congregation, we'd be laughing. The question, of course, out of this is, do we want this Jesus in our boat? We're not going to be on a lake that's clean all the time and clear. The question is, are we going to let Jesus be with us? John Ortberg said, peace doesn't come from finding a lake with no storms. It comes from having Jesus in the boat. I know that we want to find order and love and life. We want to find happiness, and this world again and again tries to give us ways to do it outside of Jesus, but it's an impossibility. As C.S. Lewis says, God cannot give us a happiness, a peace apart from himself, because there's no such thing. You can't find it in a bunker or on a mountainside. You won't find it in a bottle or a relationship. Because Jesus Christ is the one that gives meaning and purpose and peace. And it's only in that relationship you will find life. Charles Stanley, there is only one secure foundation, a genuine deep relationship with Jesus Christ, which will carry you through any and all turmoil. No matter what storms are raging all around you, if you'll stand firm in his love, you will stand forever. The love of a God who comes in amongst sinners like us, fools like us, in a broken world. None of this means he's not in control. He is in control. In fact, he's chosen to work this way, and it's a mystery. But be under no illusion, Jesus is in control. Tozer said, while it looks like things are out of control behind the scenes, there is a God who hasn't surrendered his authority. The question for us now is, will we surrender ourselves to his authority? Will we allow him in our boat? You know, these are tough times. And I think a lot of people are questioning as the storm is rising, what's going on? And I think maybe people watching this are maybe just realizing now that there's a God that's standing there in the storm waiting to be invited in. A God who wants to come in and bring you peace. A very, very, very godly man died this week, Rabbi Zacharias, and I had to end with him. He says, Jesus' life spells living. I love that. Your life or mine apart from him spells death. This God is here. He's at the crest of your boat. He's saying, I am. Do not be afraid. Will you let him in? I promise you, if you let him in, he will get you to where you're going. The resurrection, the new life, and the new creation. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your faithfulness is beyond understanding. That you would come in amongst us who are fools, who row ahead of you, who go into the dark without the light, who try and face the storm on our own. And yet you are faithful. You come upon these waters, O Lord, the great I am, and you tell us not to be afraid. It's incredible. Lord, we recognize that we are in the storm. Some of our storms are caused by ourselves, but we know you're full of grace. We ask you, my Savior, to come in our boats. Help us to be a different people so that our neighbors may look around and say, wow, they've been with Jesus. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's safe. I was blind, but now I see. Christ is my reward and all of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that would ever satisfy. Through every trial my soul will sing, no turning back, I've been set free. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Christ my all in all, my joy and my salvation. And this hope will never fail, 'cause heaven is ours. Through every storm, my soul will sing, Jesus is here, to God be the glory. Christ is enough. Christ is enough for me. Christ. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Thanks, my friend. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, that you come into our storm. We thank you that you are the one through your Son who shows us who God is. Not a God out in the distance, but a God in our lives. We welcome you into our boat. We welcome you into our lives and into our hearts. Bring us that peace that transcends understanding. Give us the wisdom to live as witnesses of you in this world. And give us the compassion and love that you have for your broken world and your people of chaos. In Jesus' name, amen. Now go in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go out in peace, for God is with you in Jesus Christ. And share that peace and love and kindness to your neighbor. And on that day, you'll hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen.